My God, my Lord, my Savior, my Father, I come before you humbly as I know how to love on you, to bless you, to ask for your grace, to ask for your peace, to ask for your guidance. As we begin to share, Father God, be inside of my heart, be inside of my mind, my lips, my thoughts, my actions, my motives. Let there be pure, let there be purified, let the anointing fall and flow through me like never before. God, I want to be pleasing in your sight. I want your words to be pleasing and to be effective the way you would have for them to be, God. I ask you just to be in my heart, be in my mind. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much for joining with us again as we continue on, basically wrap up the series we started with How to Neighbor. The first week we talked about the races being reconciled. The second week we talked about empowering the poor. And today we're going to be talking about orphans, the orphans embraced. Next week, I have a special treat for you guys, a special treat for us all. Our very own Brian Williams will be preaching and coming from the Word of God. I can't wait. Yes, I can't wait. So today we're going to be wrapping up, talking about orphans being embraced. And that's How to Neighbor. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the earth. He created the earth first, the trees, the air, the wind, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the animals. And he provided man and prepared and made man and woman and gave them a duty to subdue, overtake, and to conquer and to subdue the earth. And he also wanted them to be fruitful and multiply. So what he did was he created the family first. After all, the man was created, everything was created. He created the family and wanted us to live as a family. Before there was a church, there was a family. Before there was anything else, there was a family. And God ultimately wants us to appear as family, to present and to live lives as a family. So then sin entered into the picture. And because of that, the whole earth got into a turmoil. The whole man got into a turmoil because of sin. And because of that, the family got into a turmoil. And you have broken families. You have broken relationships. You have wars. You got rumors of wars. You got people attacking each other. And because of that as well, our families become fractured. And not for lack of anything else, then you have children that are born or existing without parents, without a mother or a father, or sometimes even both. And we call those orphans. But God didn't want them to be all alone. He didn't want them to be left alone. He wanted us to take care of the orphans. He wanted us to take care of each other as a family, as a unit. So in his design, he created the church, or created us, to not to leave the people orphans, not to leave the orphans without having a parent or having a father, having being taken care of. He did the same for widows. He didn't want them to be left alone because of death of their spouse or death of their loved ones. So we are charged as a body. We are charged as a church to care for, to take care of, to embrace the orphans. And it's funny because in the state of New Jersey, where I'm from, there is a plethora of orphans that are out there, that are in different systems, that are out there on a loan, that may have aged out of the system and living life by themselves without family members, without being taken care of, without somebody they can call or some places they can call home. We are called to love on us orphans. We are called to embrace the orphans as a church. Yes, as a church, we are called not to reject them. We are called not to ignore them, not to deny their existence, but we are called to love them, a love of the embrace them, and to take care of the orphans, because like it or not, we are all basically orphaned out of the world because God, we were out of the family of God when we sinned. We came out of the family. We because of our sins, we are out of the family of God. But then Jesus came and adopted us back into this family. So just like in the spiritual, we are adopted into the family of God, we should also take and embrace those orphans that we see here in the natural. Not just try to wait and live our lives to live better on earth, and live better on earth so we can get to heaven. But we want to live better while we're here and show the love of Christ, and share the love of Christ, embracing the orphans. In James, the first chapter, the 27th verse, it says, Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we are charged as God's plan A, as the church, to look after the orphans and the widows. We are charged not to ignore them, not to take advantage of them, not just let them go by themselves, but we are charged to lovingly embrace them and to take care of the orphans. And I'm thinking about that now, not just the orphans. There is a dilemma that is happening in the world today of child trafficking and children trafficking, sex trafficking, people taking out of different countries and out of different areas and being swiped up to be used as sex slaves and things like that. We are called not to ignore them, but to pay attention and to rescue them. We are called to rescue just the orphans, the widows, as well as those being abused by sex trafficking, things like that. Also, in the Psalms, the 82nd chapter, third through fourth verse, it says, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. We are called as a body to look out for those that can't look out for themselves. That's how you neighbor. Look out for those that can't fend for themselves, that can't provide for themselves, that can't protect themselves, that can't make a way for themselves. We are called not to ignore. Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to keep it all to yourself. You should be able to share it. Those who freely share, God will take care of. Those who freely share, God will take care of you. Amen. Ephesians, the first chapter and the fifth verse says, in the New Living Translation, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So here's the thing. It's one thing to have family members that you are related to by blood or by marriage or things like that. So if I have children, I love them because they're my children, because they were born of me and of my flesh and of my genetics and things like that. But there are some also children that I love just the same. And God loves us that same way too. God loves us so much that he chose for us to be adopted into his family. It's one thing for a father to love a child that he's born, but it's another even more powerful thing to love a child that he's chose. Because a child that you're born with, you have to take care of them. Otherwise, the government will come after you. You pay child support. You'll be looked badly by those friends and people around you if you don't take care of your own. But to actually practically in advance choose to take care of somebody that you didn't birth yourself, that's an even greater level of love. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to love on those that don't look like us. We are called to love on those that may not have our last names. We are called to love and provide for those that may not be in our genetic tree or in our heritage or things like that. Because God has done the same for us. He chose you. He chose me in advance to be adopted into his family. Just think about that. When you're adopted into his family, you get all rights, all responsibilities, and all rewards that the father gets, that one son gets, we all get. We all share in his inheritance. We all share in his blessings. We all share in everything that God has for his children because he chose us. He chose you. He chose me. So that's how we should be choosing others. Like, just because somebody is born out of wedlock or somebody is born that is not really yours and they don't have their own doesn't mean you should ignore them. We should take care of them. Take care of them. Love them, because God has done the same for us. To whom much is given, much is required. So if you've been given much, go ahead and give out more, because God is going to replenish that. God is going to repay that, because we said that last week. Those who lend to the poor is seen by blessed by God. So there's certain things that we need to remember and must realize when we learn to love our neighbor or to embrace the orphans. The first thing we want to do, or first things we want to realize, is that all children have a father. Right? It's genetics. It takes a man and a woman, a mother and a father. All children have a father, whether that father's in their life or not, they have a father. And if that father is not in their life physically, we are to step in. In Psalms 68, chapter the 5th through 6th verse, it says, "A father, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows is God. In his holy dwelling, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." So God is a father to the fatherless. He is defender of the widows. So if God has shown that love for us, we should be showing that love to him, to others as well. So another thing that we consider must realize is that all children living as orphans deserve justice. All children living as orphans deserve justice. It has to be fair. They deserve what you deserve. Just because they don't have what you may have doesn't mean they don't deserve what you deserve. All children, even living as orphans, deserve. So somebody has to stick up for them. Somebody has to be their voice. Somebody has to be their representative. And that's, we're called to do that. We are called to step in the place of those that don't have, in the place of those that may not have a mother or a father, or somebody to speak on their behalf. We are called to speak out on behalf of the orphans because they deserve justice, just like we deserve justice. Deuteronomy 10 and 18 says, "He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among you, giving food and clothing." We are to provide. Just because I have something doesn't mean I get to keep it or keep it to myself and be selfish. I'd be able to provide food and clothing to those who do not have or have less than I do. It's not that you're so great. It's not that you are so wanting of everything. We should be able to share to those that don't have. It's okay. Share. Sometimes the best gift you can give is something that you can give to somebody else that is not related to you. And not even looking for a thank you, not even looking for a handout or for recognition. Give like you're giving to God. Share like you're giving, sharing with God. Because God sees that. Amen. The next thing we must realize, the third thing we must realize as embracing the orphans, is that the people of God will care for orphans. The people of God will care for the orphans. That's what God's plan is. He wanted to take care of the orphans. So if he decided to take care of the orphans, we should take care of the orphans. So if we are children of God or the people of God, we are commanded to take care of the orphans. Psalms 82, 3rd through 4th verse, we read that before. I'll read it again. We are called to defend the weak and the fatherless, to uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. We are called to rescue the weak and the needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. We are called to take care of the orphans. You may not be able to do a lot, but the little that you have, give that like you're giving to God. Share that like you're sharing with God. You may not have a lot of money, but you may have time. Sometimes what children need is your time more than they do your resources. A lot of times as fathers, we think our children need the stuff that we give them or the gift or the monetary games or the monetary things that we might give our children to make them think that they're better off than we were. Because as fathers, we want our children to do better than what we did or to start off higher than where we left off. So sometimes we think that children want our gifts and our resources. But a lot of times, children need our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, more than they need our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. So give the gift of your time. Give the gift of your resources, of your availability. Give them your ears. Listen to them. That's what they need. That's what they want more than anything else in the world, just to be heard. And the last thing we must realize as embracing the orphans, we must realize that the people of God must share their resources with the orphans. The people of God must share their resources with orphans. You may not have a lot. You may not have much. But collectively, we can build and we can provide resources more than what they can even think or even imagine. And that's what it's all about. The little that I have combined with the little that somebody else might have is more than nothing that they may not have, So at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your town so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Give like you have been given to and share with others that those that may not have, the Levites, the orphans, the widows, and God will bless you in the work and all the work of your hands. It's one thing to be paid for the job you do, because that's what we're owed. But it's another to be blessed. And that's something we're not even owed. That's something that just comes over and above. It's like we might get a bonus from our jobs. And depending on how good the company does, determines how well your bonus is. So think about that. In God's economy, he never suffers a recession. He never suffers a depression. He'll never go bankrupt. So imagine the benefits. Imagine the bonuses that God can bless his children with if we bless others. We all say when we go to heaven, we want to hear God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in and enjoy the blessings of the Lord." But the thing is, you can't hear God say, "Well done," until there's a well do. You got to do what God has called you to do. You have to do something. You have to do what God, the best of what God has given you. Your gifts and your talents, and God's going to multiply that. God's going to bless that. He's going to bless you in all of that. Amen. So we are called back to week one to restore the races, bring us all together, because there's only one race, the human race. We are called to empower the poor, not to leave them destitute or left out. And we are called to embrace the orphans. That's how we neighbor. Each one, reach one. We're all to reach out to each other who, hey, may not have what you have. You might think that you're down and out, but somebody that's looking on you looks and sees how blessed you are and wish they could trade places with you. So just think about that. Don't think about what you don't have or think about who you don't have. There's somebody that I wish they could have their mother right now. There's somebody that I wish they could talk to their father, or to lean on him, or to get some godly advice. Be that father figure. Be that motherly love that somebody is missing out on. Some children are missing a hug. When my children were born, they spent 3 months in the NICU, the intensive care unit for infants, because they were born 3 months premature. And it was something to imagine for the first 3 months of their lives. I would go to work and then I would go to the NICU and spend time with my children. And just to see not only my children in that unit and in that ward, but to see other children as well, other babies that some had people visiting, some people didn't. And there were certain nurses or there were certain volunteers that would come and just basically just swaddle and hold little infant babies, because more than the medicine that they needed, more than the the incubators that they needed to keep their bodies warm, or more than the time was spent with the doctors and their expertise and the nurses and their expertise, they actually needed somebody to just hold them. They needed somebody to just love on them, because they recognized the power of an embrace. They recognize the power of love. And that's what we need more than anything. We need the embrace of love. We need the embrace of God's strength and of God's reaching out and touching us and pulling us into his heart. He wants us close to his heart. So he chose us to love us. He looked down on you and didn't keep looking down on you, but he chose to pick you up in the very state that you're in and to hold you and to love you until you can grow, until you can become mature, until you become the man or the woman that he knew that you could be. He knew something about you before, more than you knew about yourself. He knew who you could be. He knew the best that you can be. He knew everything that you can become. So he chose to pick you up in his arms, like the women or the nurses or the volunteers did in that NICU unit, and just hold and lovingly embrace the premature baby and lovingly embrace the orphan that didn't have a mother or didn't have anybody that would come and visit them. He stopped by your NICU to visit you, to hold you in his arms, and to lovingly rock you and whisper to you and tell you, you are great, you are powerful. Before you were born, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and I predestined you for greatness. Before you even came onto this earth, I made a way for you. Millions didn't make it, but you are here. And because of that, there is greatness in you. And what he did, how he did that, was he sent down his son to show us what love really was. He sent down his son to love us and to be that sacrifice for us, to be that, pay the price for us, for our sins and for our shortcomings, for our faults and our misdeeds and our inactions. He sent down his son to pay our price, to show us what love really is. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And he wants us to be adopted into his family. He doesn't want to leave you left out as orphans. He doesn't want anybody to be left out without a father. He is your father. So you can call him Abba, Father. And there's a simple way to get there. It's just the ABCs, I call it, to salvation. A, you want to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, you want to believe. Believe that not only that Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. A, acknowledge, admit. B, believe. C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And if you can, just close your eyes and believe everything that I've said, because God sent it. God sent his son to die for our sins, to be that sacrifice for our sins, because God desires to lovingly embrace you into his arms and to adopt you into his family. So say this prayer after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you pray that prayer with us, I want you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. I got something for you. I love to communicate with you. I love to connect with you. I love to help adopt you, adopt us all into this family of Christ. Because God doesn't want to leave you all orphans. God doesn't want to leave you left out. He has his blessings. He has something in store for you and for me. Thank you for joining with us. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a good day.